are on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this beautiful, crisp day?
By faith, I'm doing great. And I mean absolutely
Amen.
Great.
Amen. Amen. I am excited this morning to be in, be with you. I almost said in the house of God, but we are in the house of God because this house that we live in, called this body, is the house of God. Hallelujah. And we can only say thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us when we believe. Hallelujah. And I believe that my daddy God is in charge of everything and all is well. Hallelujah. And this morning, Mother, we got a word. We got some good words, great words, Holy Ghost words. We got a word that is coming out of Ezekiel chapter 17 and 18. And all you can say is, was the prophet looking at our time? Because so much of what he's saying is stuff that we see today, things that are going on today. You know, same wickedness, same hard-headedness, same stiff-neckedness, same old stuff, different day. And all I can say is, Ezekiel, don't play. And as we go into our psalm this morning, we're coming out of the 124th psalm. And our proverb today is Proverbs 28 and 21, and we'll be in Hebrews chapter 9, which is where our title came from this morning. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Whew! And that is what we are doing, the will of God. Every morning we get up, morning by morning, new mercies we see, because God is faithful. And we work for the Lord. Everything we do because of our love for God. Mother, I know you love the Lord, and I do too. I can't help myself. I do. I truly do. Y'all know, I'll say it again. This sister gets giddy for Jesus. I can't help it. Every time I say the name, I can't help but just get all tingly inside. Because I know that I know how good God has been to me. I got a whole bunch of overflow, but I know that God is saying it's time to start downsizing some stuff, daughter. And I'm doing my best, Lord. Help me, help me, help me. But I just want to say God is so good. And we're going to pray in and we're going to get started this morning. We got a lot of words that we want to get through. And I have a little person this week that at least today is up till Wednesday that I have to take to school, and I may have to take them on Thursday too. So I am excited to be a grandma and have a grandma duty and spending time with my grandson, who is a hoot and extremely smart. He politely told me last night that he understood why there was the northern lights and how the northern lights were made. And I said, oh, you do? He said, oh, yes, I understand that very well. And all I could say was, all right, then. You know, he knew how to pronounce it better than I did. I know Borealis, and he knew all the rest. And I'm like, okay, all right. This little person, 6 years old, is extremely smart. Can tell you about every dinosaur there is out there and their habitat and everything about them. I'm like, future paleontologist, all right then. You know, very smart for a six-year-old. And, you know, but then there's things that he just don't get. But, you know, the little simple stuff, it's like, I think he's just bored with the simple and like stuff out there. So I just say, okay, God, you're making me a little genius here because he's extremely smart in his own way. And that's what we have to do, take every child as individuals and love them all. And so I can't do nothing more than say, I am grateful that God gave me my family, my sons, and my goddaughter and daughter. My daughter, she's my daughter. I can't call her goddaughter. She's my daughter in every way. And I have to laugh sometimes because she acts like me. And I'm like, oh, my. You know, we get to talking, and I'll say, oh, my goodness, you even sound like me. So, you know, God knows what he's doing, and he knows what we need. I always laugh. I said, my husband used to say, you know, we should have had more kids, and I think he decided to send them to me in children's ministry and in life. So I can't say anything, but I just smile because he was my biggest cheerleader and supporter when I first started in children's ministry. So, and he would be the one to say, did you finish your lesson? Aren't you supposed to be studying? You know, but he would be all up in my business when it came to ministry. So I can't do anything but say, thank you, God. And, Mother, I am just happy to hear your voice this morning. I'm happy know that you have come back, and I was grateful to have you last week. And I know you was listening in on yesterday. And so I'm just grateful that this cheery voice that y'all love to hear is back. So all I can say is thank you, God, for this awesome woman of God who's back. Ready to move forward in the word of God, and y'all know that she can bring a word. Hallelujah. And, you know, Mother, don't hold back. Whatever God tells you to say, just do it and just say it, because we all know that God is in charge. Hallelujah. Let's just all say together, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
So, Mother, I'm turning it over to you. And I'll be back for our Psalms word this morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Father God,
also.
Good morning. We want to thank and praise you for who you are. We want to thank and praise you for another day, another sunrise. God, you are a great God.
Yeah.
If you did it once, you do it again, and you have done it again. You woke us up this morning in our right mind, ready to say hallelujah. Ready to give you praise, God. We praise you with a grateful heart because we are grateful. We are grateful. We are totally grateful to see all the beautiful colors, orange and brown. And God, we just thank you. We thank you for this time of year. So bless the word as it goes out in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading from Ezekiel 17:1. Word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, pose a riddle, speak a parable to the house of Israel, and say, thus says the Lord God. A great eagle with large wings and large pions full of feathers of various colors came to Lebanon, took from the seed of the highest branch, he chopped off his topmost young twig, carried it to the land of trade, set it in a city of merchants. Then he took some of the seed of the land, planted it in a fertile field. He placed it by abundant waters, set it like a willow tree, and it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. Its branches turned toward him, but its roots was under it. So it became a vine, brought forth branches, put forth shoots. But there was another great eagle with large wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine bent its roots toward him, stretched its branches toward him. From the garden terrace where it had been planted, that he might water it. It was planted in good soil by many waters to bring forth branches, bear fruit, and become a majestic vine. Says, thus says the Lord God, will it thrive? Will he not pull up his roots, cut off his fruit, leave it to wither? All of the spring leaves will wither. No great power or many people will be needed to pluck it up by its root. Behold, it is planted. Will it thrive? Will it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? It will wither in the garden terrace where it grows. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, say now to the rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Tell them, indeed, the king of Babylon went to Jerusalem, took his king and prince, and led them with him to Babylon, took the king's offspring, made a covenant with him, and put him under oath. He also took away the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be brought low and not lift itself up, but that by keeping his covenant it might stand. But he rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors to Egypt, that they might give him horses and many people. Will he prosper? Will he who does such things escape? Can he break a covenant and still be delivered? As I live, says the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells, who made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he broke with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. Nor will Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company do anything in the war when they heap up a siege mound and build a wall to cut off any person. Since he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, and in fact gave his hand and still did all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath which he despised and my covenant which he broke, I will recompense on his own head. I'll spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and try him there for treason, which he committed against me. All his fugitives with all his troops shall fall by the sword, and those who remain shall be scattered to every wind. And you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I will take also one of the high branches of the high cedar, set it out. I will chop off from the topmost of this young twig, the tender one, will plant it on high, and a prominent mountain. On the mountain's height of Israel, I will plant it, and it will bring forth bronze and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort in the shadow of its branches, and they will dwell. All the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, exalted the low tree, dried up the green tree, made the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. God has done it. My Lord, my Lord. And our title for today is, Behold, I Have Come to Do Your Will. Lord, I have come to do your will. I'm reading chapter 18. Word of the Lord came to me, saying, What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sold grapes, sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. Soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, and if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defile his neighbor's wife, well, you know you're not supposed to sleep with your neighbor's wife. Most people know that. Some people do that. But the Bible said, nor defile his neighbor's wife, nor approach a woman doing her impurity. And women know that they're not supposed to sleep with a man when they're on their period. They know better than that. It said, nor approach a woman doing her impurity. If he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, God instructs us, when you see people hungry, if they really are hungry, you are to feed them. He said, by doing that, you might be giving something to an angel unaware. God said to feed the hungry, and when you feed people that are hungry, you don't know who you're feeding. There was a pastor, a very rich one, and he was in disguise. He put on ragged clothes and got himself all dirty up, smeared mud on his face, and he went and sat on the corner by his own church. And he was just going to see who of the church people, who, you know, his own church people, Would they feed him, or would they give him money, or just what? What would they do? And a lot of the people just passed him by, you know, and just looked at him. Nobody offered him water or food. And he was just amazed that these are his church members. And nobody spoke to him. Nobody did anything. It's a large congregation, a large, huge church. So when church time started, everybody was saying, well, where is the pastor? Where is the pastor? And this dirty-looking bum, come walking down the aisle. Everybody was looking at him, and he walked down the aisle, got up in the pool pit, and took off his dirty clothes and started speaking. People were so shocked that this dirty bum, who they thought was a dirty bum, was the pastor. I mean, you're supposed to treat everybody the same. They didn't know that that was their pastor that they passed by and didn't give any food to. Jesus said, when you take care of the hungry people, you're doing it likewise to him. And there go you, or any of us, but by the grace of God. Treat people with dignity. I don't care what they got on. I don't care how they smell, what they look like. Treat them like they are a human being, because they are human. At one time, that was somebody's baby boy, somebody's baby girl. They are human beings. And you don't have to treat them like they dirt up under your feet because they look nasty. And some people do look nasty. Some people are nasty. But treat them with respect. Treat them with respect. It says, verse number 9, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, executed true judgment between man and man. If he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgment faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. If he begets a son who's a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things, does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountain or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he have oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, nor restored the pledge, lift his eyes to idols, or commit abomination, if he has exact unsurety or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominable things, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. If, however, he begets a son who sees all the sin which his father has done, and consider but does not do likewise, who has not eaten on the mountains, nor lift his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, covered the naked with clothing, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor, and not receive of surety or increase, but has executed my judgment. For behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He has executed my judgments, walked in my statutes. He should not die for the iniquity of his father. He should surely live. As for his father, because he hath cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die. Behold, he shall die for his iniquities. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, has kept all my statutes and observed them. He shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. Son should not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure in all the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and does according to all the abomination that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. My God, they're saying that if you live righteous for 50 years, and 1 week of unrighteousness, it said all the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. My Lord, because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them, he shall die. Behold, our title is, I have come to do your will, O Lord. Yet to say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my ways which is fair and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and dies in it, is it because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies? Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed, does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive, because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair, O house of Israel. Is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Your ways are not fair. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed. Turn away from them. Get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. But why should you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Turn and live. You do not have to die in your iniquities and your transgressions against God. You can say, behold, I have come to do your will. I have come to do your will. I will turn from sin. I mean, God gives you a choice. You don't have to sin, but when you do sin, he says to repent. Don't try to hide it up. Repent, turn away from your sin. Is life lesson, Ezekiel 18:32. I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies. Therefore, turn and live. Death is the wage of sin, but God would rather we not pay it. He has already covered the cost of our sin in the death of his son. We must simply accept his gift and come to him on his terms. It says, I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies. Therefore, you should turn and live. Ezekiel 17:24. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. The Lord wants us to remember that he is absolutely sovereign. If a nation rises high, it does so because he planned it. If a nation falls, it does so because he made it happen. God rules among the nations. There's nobody higher than God. God is God. I mean, the idols of your hand when you make a calf, or when you idolize a person or a child or a thing, they're not God. God is God, and there's nobody. When God speaks a thing, so be it. There's nobody higher than our God. Ezekiel 18:4, life lesson. God says, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. As the creator, every human being, everything, every human being, every animal, every plant, all of it belongs to God. So all of us on the planet are his offspring. Yet only those who place their faith in Christ belong to God as members of his heavenly family. Place your hope in Jesus and become a child of God. All of us are creatures of God. God created us all, but all of us are not children of God. only when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you for all your sins, knowingly and unknowingly, and tell him that you believe in the resurrection, that you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that you believe this. It's not a fairy tale, because it is true, that you believe it with all your heart, and nothing can change that fact, that you are a believer and not a doubter like Thomas, that you are a believer. And ask for his forgiveness, and then you become a child of the Most High God. Isn't it wonderful to be able to go to your Father, the King of the universe, and ask the request of him, and he grants it? And you know that you know that you know that you know that it's God granting your request to a child, because you are his. And he's in the Bible, it says, I will give you the desires of your heart, if you please God. And all God wants you to do is to obey. And when you obey God, you're only doing it for your own good. God does good. He does good. Regardless of what you're going through, God is with you, and he will do you good. You might not understand it at the time because you're going through something, but it's for your good. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. And, you know, you say that, but that's the truth. All things does work good for those who love the Lord according to his will, not your will. He said, let your will be done, God, not my will. God is just a wonderful, wonderful, praise God. We praise him in the morning. We praise him in the noon. We praise him all day long. Let his will be done. And God said, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Behold, I have come to do your will, not my will. I'm going to turn this back over
Amen.
To Pastor Chris in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen, amen.
Good word.
Hold on just a minute, Mama. Does that mean...
And the Bible said all souls of mine, the soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, belongs to God. We all belong to
God. Amen, amen, amen. Had to get a little person moving this morning. You know, it's like I having to go back. I'm like, oh, my, it's been a long time, like 30 years or so since I had a six-year-old in the house. So it's like, oh, my gosh, time has not changed. They still are slow, and you still got to get them moving.
Amen.
But I'm so very happy to be with my little person this morning. And he gets me up, he gets me moving, he gets me on my way, and I'm just grateful to God for him. So let's get into more word, Mother. Thank you so much. Wow. I was saying was, preach, Mama, preach. That's what went through my mind this morning, especially when you told the story of the pastor. How many times have we driven past a homeless person and turned our head so that we didn't have to look at it? I'm just being honest. You know, I try. I don't always have the time to put extra in my car, but a lot of times I try to put an extra bottle of water and extra something in my car, in my lunchbox, so that if I have to give it to somebody that I don't mind because I have the extra to do it, because you just never know. As my mother used to always say, always give a drink of water. If you can't give nothing else, give a drink of water, you know, because you never know, one day, by the grace of God, that could be you. That could be your children. That could be a family member, especially if they are veterans. How many veterans are on the street? We just celebrated Veterans Day this past weekend. And I tell you, it's more veterans out there in the streets than you can imagine. And we need to pray. We pray for them. We lift them up. We ask God to guide and lead them. Because I tell you, you never know that you may be giving a veteran a drink of water. Are you past it? As in the story Mother told, You never know what God's plans are for you. But we do know that God wants us to treat others how we want to be treated. God wants us to treat others how we want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That golden rule is just as important today as it was back in the day of Satan when he gave it to us. We need to treat each other right. So let's get into our word this morning. We are coming from the 124th Psalm, and it's verses 1 through 8. It says this: if I had not been the Lord who was on my side, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And we know we used to sing, if it hadn't been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? You know, where would we be if the Lord was not on our side? I don't know where I would be if the Lord had not been on my side. From the time I was a little bitty person, younger than my grandson, I don't know where I would be had it not been for the Lord on my side. And it says this, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When the wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we know that the children of Israel, had it not been for the Lord on their side, do you think they would have escaped Pharaoh's army? Do you think Pharaoh's army would have drowned in the Red Sea? Absolutely not. They would have been and got them and took them back in. Mostly they probably would have killed them because they were still angry about the death of the firstborn. And so they would have been looking to kill all of Israel's firstborn. We got to understand, when God is in charge, he protects us, even when we don't know it. My daughter was out at Walmart the other night. God just gave her a feeling not to go a certain way, to walk a different way to her car. Because in a truck was these two men just sitting and watching as people were coming out of the store. And she said she just felt uncomfortable, that something just didn't feel right. And that when she looked back at the truck, because she went a different way, when she looked back at the truck, she didn't see one of the occupants. And she said, maybe he went in the store. She said, but I said, look behind you. We were on the phone. I said, look behind you and look in front of you. Look at all sides. Check your car. Before you get in it, make sure there's nobody behind you. And so I said, but I'm going to talk to you until you get in your car. And that's what I did, so that there was somebody on the phone with her. And like I told my youngest granddaughter, who is 16 and, you know, happy to be driving, you know how they are, all excited. And I told her, I said, you be careful. Make sure your doors are locked on your car. Because she has one of those old-fashioned cars where you have to roll up the window by hand. And like I told her, I said, make sure you keep that driver, that passenger side window up. I know it's hot. Just put a small crack in it. But don't turn it all the way down so somebody can put a hand in and unlock the door. You know, little things that we have to teach our children, especially our young women and young men. My oldest son, when he was a teenager, had what do you call them cars? A marquee something. They look like them. Oh, I call them the old gangster cars. You know why my husband bought him that car? Only God knows. Crown marquee or something like that. And it was one of them same kind. You got to crank it up. And he stopped at a stop sign, and a man jumped in his car and said, hey, man, take me over. Hey, man, will you take me over such and such? And he said, I said, well, what did you do? He said, I took him where he wanted to go. I said, oh, my God. Because that was, you know, cell phones wasn't as prevalent back then for youngsters. You know, but the man, after he dropped him off, he said, hey, thank you. I appreciate the ride. The bus was taking too long. And he went on about his way. And I told him, I said, do you realize that an angel of God was watching over you? And he said, I know, Mom. I said, because that could have been a carjacking. You had one of those kind of cars that folks liked from back in the day. Saved by grace. And this is my son who has been in car accident and saved by grace. Car went airborne. And because it went airborne into a cornfield, that's the only thing that saved his life. He hit a patch of ice and went airborne. The car rolled over 2 or 3 times. He was in his seatbelt like his dad had taught him since he was born. He was in his seatbelt. And I remember getting a call that said he had been in an accident, but not to come, that his dad was on the way. His dad was a state trooper. And the trooper that got there before him said, I just want you to know it looks worse than what it is. He's all right. Because when my husband saw that car, he said he could not understand why our son was still here. But that's why I know that he has a calling on his life. Just this past week, driving, he drives 1.5 hours to and from work. On his way home in the middle of the night, he had a blowout on his car. His car blew out when he first looked in the car. He couldn't find a spare. So he was waiting for a tow truck. And then he gets a call from the tow truck company saying, we're sorry, but we can't come and tow you. You're too far out in an area where we can't get to you. Now, Matt meant my child would have been out there until we could come and get him. But I tell you this, how God worked. He went and looked. I said, check your car again, because I started praying right after he called me. He looked in that car, and there was a spare tire. He said, Mom, I tell you, I did not see it the first time.
Coke, he wasn't
changed
there.
His tire, went on his way. Don't tell me what God can do. God gives us favor. And he protects us. If it had not been the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Hallelujah. That's all of us. Thank God for being on your side. And as we go giving thanks, our pastor preached on being thankful yesterday at church. And the word for this morning, giving thanks to God, what the Bible says. Our prayers are often more self-centered than we realize. Yeah, they are. As we talk to God, we tend to forget the many ways that God has helped us. Instead, we focus on the things we want now from him. However, we should continually give thanks to our Lord and Savior. This is one of the most important priorities in the life of a believer. We're taught it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name. Oh, Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. And that's the 92nd Psalm. We got to give thanks to the Lord every day. Why is it so important that we express gratitude to God? Because he deserves the glory, and giving thanks honors him. We act in obedience by giving him the credit and praise to the one who should receive it. He is the author of every good thing and should receive every honor. Are you telling God, thank you this morning? Father God, I thank you for waking me up early. I thank you for starting me on my way. I thank you for having given us an opportunity to speak and teach your word. God, I just thank you for your grace watching over my children as they travel these highways and byways on their jobs. I thank you for watching over my daughter as she gets on the train every Monday or Sunday to go to her schooling. God, I thank you that you are protecting my children. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy that my mother is still here. I thank you, God, that I go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, the church body that loves you, God. Hallelujah. And it tells us, giving thanks to God, we focus us our attention. What better way to bring our focus back to God than to think of how he's delivered us? Doing so releases us from anxiety. Psalm 124:8 declares, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, because he is our help. We have nothing to fear. Come on now. God is our present help in times of trouble. God is our help in the good, in the bad, and in the ugly. God is with us everywhere we go because we stand on his word. I will never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. Our gratefulness refreshes our relationship with him and reinforces our faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We'll be getting to that word on Wednesday. We got to understand who we belong to. And it says, as we declare his loving kindness and faithfulness, our spirits are rejuvenated. We feel closer to him because he draws near to us when we thank him and praise him, and we have more joy in our life. Did you tell God thank you this morning? Did you tell him just nothing else? But Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for starting me on my way. Thank you for putting breath in my body. Thank you, Lord, for removing the pain from my joints. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, our awesome and mighty God. Therefore, how can we express our thanks to God? We express our thanks in words. We express our thanks by singing. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Hallelujah. Sister Carolyn tears that song up. I tell you that. And it says, we express our thanks by living obediently. We express our thanks through public worship. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand and say amen. Say hallelujah when the Holy Spirit hits your body. Don't be worried about who's looking at you, who's talking about you. I'm going to praise him wherever I am, and I don't care what you think. Because you don't know what God brought me through. You don't know that I'm standing here because he saved my life more than once. Hallelujah. Don't tell me what God can't do. And it tells us we give thanks by giving generously. Have you counted your blessings lately? Are you paying your tithes? Are you putting in your offering? Are you giving to God what belongs to God? Are you saying, well, I really got to pay this bill? I do too. But I'm going to put my tithes and offering in, and I'm going to tell you something. God will surprise you. I didn't think I had but $20 left in my wallet. I gave my tithes and offerings and a little bit more on yesterday. And I said, okay, God, I'm on this $20. It's going to last me till my next payday. You know, I know you'll provide for the gas. You'll provide for everything I need. And I tell you what. I went to look in my wallet this morning because I'm collecting change in a little piggy bank for my grandson. And I went to take the change out to put it in the piggy bank. And I said, where did this come from? I thought it was just a dollar. I started taking it out. There was a 20, and then there was a 5, and then there was another 20, and another 5. By the time I got finished, I had $75. I said, complete grace. Come on, God. You better stop. No, don't stop. Keep blessing me. You know, keep blessing me, Lord. Because I was surprised. Didn't know it. I thought I had $20. And God gave me 55 more. Double grace. Come on, don't tell me what God can't do. When you think you don't have, God will give you more than you could ever ask for. I'm getting teared up. I'm getting all excited because I tell you, when you give to God, he will give you more. Hallelujah. And as I went on into the word, it says, giving thanks is something you can do at any time and in any place. Why not take a few moments to reflect upon the greatness of God and the ways he's helped you? Why not begin each morning and in every day with songs of praise and gratitude. If you do that, you're going to feel more joy in your life. You're going to feel closer to him and be more eager to serve him. Therefore, give thanks to God. And as we go into Proverbs 28 and 21, he says, to show partiality is not good. Because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. Woo! Come on now. For a piece of bread, a man will transgress.
My Lord.
We cannot show, you don't show partiality. Because when you do, you know, even to your children, you got parents that'll treat one child better than the other child. You know, will praise one child and dog out the other child. Just like they owe no good day. You know, how many times have you heard some women say that kind of stupid thing?
Mm-hmm.
Every child is a gift from God. I don't care how old the mama is, except for children. I have a problem with dirty old men impregnating children and then the children having to carry that baby into fruition when they don't even, they're babies themselves. I remember in grade school, sixth grade, one of my classmates came up pregnant, 12 years old. 12 years old. And nobody. Because we were young. We just thought she was getting fat. And then she disappeared. And nobody had seen or heard from her since sixth grade. And we're talking almost 60 years ago. Nobody.
My God.
Has heard from this young lady. No, that's not right. I'm sorry. 50 years ago. 12 years old. And we have got to pray for our young women. Pray for our children. You know, when you are able to consent, that's one thing. But a child is not. I am not for abortion. I will tell you that right now. But I know that God is in charge of everything. And we have got to pray for our children. We have got to pray. We've got to look up and ask God, Lord, you're in charge. You're in charge. And you watch God. Let God handle some things. Because I tell you one thing, God protects his children. You might think you got over, but I'll tell you this. You will die a horrible death. Those that hurt children, they will die a horrible death. And they will not make it in because you hurt the least among them.
My God.
But God has said in his word, don't show partiality. I can't say I love this child over this child. I can't treat this child differently than I treat this child. All our children are God's children. And we got to love on them. And this is what the word of God says. Then, indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service in the earthly sanctuary, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pots that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Because remember, these things disappeared. The tabernacle, the holiest of holies, some things disappeared when they went into exile. Nobody to this day knows where the Ark of the Covenant is. The Ark of the Covenant is the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. Nobody knows where it is. The cherubims of glory overshadowing, nobody knows where it is. The rod of Aaron, nobody knows what it is. The pot of manna, nobody knows where it is. The Ten Commandments, the tablet of the covenant with God, nobody knows where they are to this day. And that's what he said. things we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things have been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered himself and for the people, sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him into perform, make him who performs the service perfected in regard to the conscience, concerned only with food and drink, various washings, and freshly ordinances imposed upon the time of Reformation. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things. He talked about the high priest of Melchizedek on yesterday and the day before. It says a high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He enters the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. Can you say it? We thank God for Jesus. No bulls, no goats, no rams. Just Christ. Hallelujah. He took our sins to the cross. And all we can say is, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. But where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the tester lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. But when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than those. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, come on now, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Can the church say amen this morning? Whew, what a word. And when we go back to some life lessons, it says in Hebrews 9:14, the blood of Christ cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. None of us have to live with unresolved guilt. Jesus wants to take our accusing consciences and wipe them clean with his blood, enabling us to serve him with joy and without the slightest bit of shame. Hebrews 9:26, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As God in the flesh, Jesus presented God with a sacrifice both infinite in value and eternal in duration. Jesus' purity made his sacrifice valid, and his divine nature made it sufficient for all who believe. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Few can avoid taxes. Come on, tell somebody. But none of us can avoid death and judgment unless we're alive when the Lord returns. All of us will die, and every person in history will answer to God for how they lived. And that is our word for this morning. And all I can say is, wow, God does not play. And before we get out this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning, who gave a testimony that was right and righteous on yesterday. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for our sister in Christ. And Sister Carolyn was up early this morning, too. Hallelujah. And it says this, good morning. Whatever you are going through, God knows and he is with you. He won't let you go through more than you can bear. No matter what it looks like, have faith. Come on now. He's able. Have a marvelous Monday. Have faith. And that's what our word talks about this morning, that we got to have faith. We got to have faith that God is with us. We got to have faith that he loves us. We are his sons and daughters, and God wants the best for us. We got to trust him. We got to believe. We got to know that with God, all things are possible. As the 92nd Psalm says, O Most High, declare your loving kindness. Actually, let me get it all right. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for this mighty word this morning. And Mother, before we go, a prayer for today. Let them choose. When the people of Israel heard about King Solomon, suspected him very much. They saw he had wisdom from God to make the right decisions. And we know that was when he would not split a baby in half, because one liar was trying to say it was her baby. But she's like, just let him split him. And the other one said, she can have it because I don't want the baby to die. And he said, you are the mama. We got to know who we belong to. And time just went really quick this morning. But God has put in my heart to read this prayer. And we're going to be just about a minute or so over. But let us go into it. It says, God, you are the ultimate freedom fighter. You don't rule like a dictator, demanding respect and holding on to your power through manipulation and fear tactics. You are the most benevolent king. You freely give away the bounty of your resources to all who ask. When we come to you, you open your home and throw a great banquet, laying out a feast. Even if it's just a few who show up, it does not affect the level of your response. You are ever welcoming, always generous with joy. You are beyond good, Father. May everyone hear and know of your everlasting goodness. Your kingdom has open borders that welcome strangers in the same way it does family. Let everyone have the same chance to choose. Who would turn down such an invitation? Lord, fill me with your revelation that brings your word alive. You are so good, God. I choose you, Lord, and I choose to eat of the wisdom of your bountiful kingdom. And the question is, how do you make major decisions in your life do you take it to the Lord? Hallelujah. That's our word this morning, family. I thank you all for listening in. Mother Valerie, you are awesome, and I am so grateful to call you my godmother, my mother in Christ. I'm grateful for you, and thank you so much. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Mother Valerie, guess what? It's a wrap.
It is a wrap. It's a wrap.
Because I got to take a little person to school, and I got to go to work. So it's a wrap. I love you all. Be blessed. Have a great day. And remember this. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Keep that in your heart. And as Mother talked about, you never know when you give to a homeless person that you may be given to an angel unaware. Be blessed and never know who God is going to put in your spot, put in your place. Thank you all. I love you. I pray for you. I lift you all up. Have a great and wonderful, as Sister Carolyn has told us this morning. Have a what kind of morning? Have a marvelous Monday. Have a marvelous Monday, family. It's a wrap. And this is our final closing. It's a wrap.